Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We glorify your name. We thank you, Jesus. Just take your seats. Let's run through a song.
As we gather in this place today, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way. As we lay aside our own desires, sweep across our hearts with holy fire. Have your way.
Let's do it again. As we gather in this place today.
As we gather in this place today. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way.
As we lay aside our own desires,
as we lay aside our own desires,
sweep across our hearts,
sweep across our hearts with holy fire. Have your.
Let's do it one more time, and I want you to just learn it as we gather in this place today.
As we gather in this place today,
Holy Spirit, come and have.
Holy Spirit, come and have your.
Everybody come sing the song.
Have your way.
As we lay aside, oh yes.
As we lay aside our own desires.
Sweep across our hearts.
Sweep across our hearts with holy fire. Have your.
And the chorus says, this is your house.
This is your house. Your home. We welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. This is your home. Your home. We welcome you today.
Let's do it again. This is your house, Lord.
This is your house,
your home,
your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today.
Sing it again. This is your house.
This is your house.
And your home.
We welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. This is your house. Your home. We welcome you.
There's a second verse that says, as we offer up our hearts,
as we offer up our hearts and lives, let them be a living sacrifice. Have your way.
Be glorified in everything we do.
Be glorified in everything we do.
Be glorified in everything we say.
Glorified in everything we say. Have your way. So let's do it one more time. As we offer up our hearts and lives. As we offer up our hearts and lives. Let them be a living sacrifice. And have your way. Be glorified in everything we say. Be glorified in everything we say. Be glorified in everything we do. Have your way. This is your house. This is your house. Your home. We welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. This is your house. Your home. We welcome you today. This is your house. This is your house. Your home. We welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. We welcome you today. We welcome you. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord and bless his name. Amen and amen. We thank you, Father, tonight. We welcome you. Because we've gathered here, that makes it your house. Because your house is where the gathering of the saints are. And we are your house, we are your home, really. Tonight we pray in the name of Jesus, asking that you will bless us and that you will speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. All right, God bless you, and you're welcome to our times of impartation, our midweek teaching service. Thank you very much for joining in. And I want to extend special welcome to anybody who has also joined us online. Thank you for choosing to be in tonight's service. I believe that you will be blessed. And God is going to visit you in a powerful way. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Amen. We use iron to sharpen iron. And the Bible is saying that in a similar sense, you need somebody else in your life to make you better and to help to develop you. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these, that means transfer them, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Amen. All right. Last week I began a short series on the mentorship advantage. The mentorship advantage. And today I'm continuing, and I'm going to be talking to you about the mentorship advantage, biblical truths. The mentorship advantage,
biblical truths. So last week was just the introduction to the mentorship advantage. Today I'm taking it a step and a notch higher, and I'm sharing with you biblical truths concerning the mentorship advantage. I explained to you last week that when we say that something is an advantage, what we mean is that it is a benefit that helps someone to do better or succeed more easily. All right? That's what an advantage is. And I also explained to you what mentorship is. Mentorship is a God-ordained relationship in which a more experienced, mature, and trustworthy person intentionally, is not accidental, intentionally guides, teaches, encourages, and develops another person so that they become all that God intends them to be. All right? And then I also explained to you that mentorship is the intentional investment of one life into another to help that person discover, develop, and fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Amen. So anytime we talk about mentorship, we are talking about a transfer. It can be a transfer of wisdom, a transfer of knowledge, transfer of character, transfer of values, transfer of skills, and then it can actually be a preparation for destiny. Amen. So, you want to become an entrepreneur, somebody who, starts a business and you want it to work. One of the things that can help you to do that is to find a more experienced person. Somebody who is experienced in whatever field you are interested in. And then you get that person to help you to develop yourself. You get that person to teach you things, to guide you, and basically to encourage you on that path that you want to go on. If you find somebody like that, it means that that person is mentoring you. Now, there is a lot of similarity between a mentor and a coach. They do basically the same thing. The difference, however, is that with a mentor, there is a more personal relationship. With a coach, it can be impersonal. But with a mentor, you have a certain kind of personal relationship with the person. And then through that relationship, the person imparts your life, influences your life, he guides you, and so on and so forth. Now, so sometimes you may start off having a coach, but then that coach becomes a mentor along the line because you develop a certain kind of relationship with him. I'm sure you're familiar with this footballer, Michael Essien, one of the best footballers that Ghana has ever produced. He had a coach called Jose Mourinho. And when they started, Mourinho was his coach. But then along the line, the whole thing changed from Essien just having a coach to having a mentor. A deep relationship was developed. So much so that they could travel together, and there was a certain involvement of Mourinho in Essien's life that was beyond just coaching. So that is now at the level of mentorship. And there's even a higher level of mentorship where it becomes like a father and son or daughter relationship. But I want you to understand that in this life, one of the things that can give you an advantage is if you have somebody like a mentor in your life to guide you, to influence you, to impart your life, to teach you certain things. Because wherever you want to get to in life, somebody has been there before. Because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Show me something that you can say, this one is a new thing, and we have never seen its kind before. Everything you want to achieve and accomplish in your life, somebody has taken the step into it. So it becomes an advantage for you if you can get somebody who has walked the ropes, somebody who knows what this field that you are interested in is in, what it involves. And then that person begins to teach you, begins to guide you, begins to direct you. Just this afternoon, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he told me that he's written some books, and the first set of books that he wrote, he spent a lot of money getting somebody to, you know, do the cover design, and then to do the text work, set the pages and all of those things. So he felt the Spirit of God impressing on him like, that this thing, you can learn how to do it yourself. All right. So he set off on a journey of learning how to produce his own books, from the cover design into the page setting and all of those other things. What did he do? He had two options. One was to go to a formal school, or to enroll into a kind of training program where these things are taught. But then the other option he had was to find somebody whom he could relate to and who could teach him how to do those things. And he opted for the second option. So somebody connected him to another person who is very good at these things. And that person taught him and showed him how to use Corel Draw to design a book. I think he's doing everything in Corel Draw. You know, when I was much younger, in an earlier life, it was something I learned how to do book designs and to produce books. I used a software called PageMaker, and I was involved in all of that. So this friend of mine, now he can produce his own book. And that cost that he would have incurred if he had taken it to somebody else to produce it for him, now he doesn't have to incur that cost. But what helped him to be able to achieve this was he found somebody to teach him. I can say that that person was a coach, because I don't know what level of relationship they have, whether it is moved beyond a coach to a mentorship. But the concept is the same thing. And I'm explaining to you that in life, you can actually be at an advantage if you have somebody showing you that this is what you have to do. This is the way to go about things. If you have somebody to help to develop what you have, it will put you at a certain level. And I'm submitting to you, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the ways that you can find yourself at a good place in life is to embrace this concept and this principle of mentorship. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are moving on from there. And what I want to do today is to share with you the biblical truths, some biblical truths about mentorship. May I remind you that this month is a month of youth mentorship and renewal. I think that's what we said, youth mentorship and renewal. All right. And I mentioned to you that the fact that we've used that word youth, you know, in relation to mentorship should not make you think that mentorship is just for young people. All right. And you see that it is not just for young people as we move on. But the first biblical truth that I want to share with you about mentorship is that mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. Mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. Amen. I take it again. Mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. So that's the first biblical truth that I need you to embrace. That mentorship is a God-ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 to 9, shall we? Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, verse 5 to 9 from the New King James Version. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Because God had told him that he was going to see the promised land, but he was not going to step there. Why? Because something happened during their journey, their 40-year journey through the wilderness. One day God asked him to speak to a rock and water will come out of it. But he was so angry with the people and irritated with their constant grumbling and lamentation. So instead of speaking to the rock, he struck it. And God said to him that you have dishonored me. And because of this thing, your eyes will see the promised land, but your feet will never step there. Sometimes the people you lead can cause you to end up in a bad place. All right? So as a leader, you must be worry of the pressure of the people. The pressure of the people you lead. So wherever you find yourself, you work as a supervisor, as a boss, and you have people under you, be very, very careful that you do not yield to the pressure of the people, because it can land you somewhere that you do not want to land. Next verse. So Moses died and he buried him. Now, it was God who conducted Moses' burial service. God himself buried him. So God required his spirit of him, and then he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. And it's good, because before you realize, they've gone to build a monument there, and it becomes a place of worship. We like doing those things too much. Abba. Next verse. So nobody knows where Moses' grave is. Verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. I prayed this prayer for myself and for you, that as you get older, may your eyes never dim, and may your natural strength never abate. Receive it in the name of Jesus. It continues, verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the period of mourning was 30 days. All right? So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Amen. Now look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Another version will say Moses' minister or Moses' servant. And this is what God said to him. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Praise the name of the Lord. I preached a message some time ago. Exit Moses, enter Joshua. Why are you laughing? You can remember where I preached it. Okay. Exit Moses, enter Joshua. Moses was the one God called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. And at the time he embarked on this journey, he was 80 years old. He died at 120. 40 years of his life was spent in the wilderness leading the people to the promised land. But from the time he started traveling with the people, there was a gentleman with him whose name was Joshua. This Joshua was the captain of the armies of Israel then. The Bible does not tell us what his age was. But if we were to look at what pertained at that time, we can safely guess that he was about 40 years old. So Moses was 80. Joshua was about 40. And Joshua worked very closely with Moses all through that journey through the wilderness. The Bible describes him as Moses' minister or as Moses' servant, and that the spirit of wisdom was upon him because Moses had laid his hands on him. I want to submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the relationship that existed between Moses and Joshua was a mentorship kind of relationship. Moses mentored Joshua. Moses, if you like, fathered Joshua, but the Bible doesn't say that. So let's just stay with the idea of mentor. He mentored him so that when it was time for Moses to exit, there was somebody who had been prepared and trained and guided and influenced and imparted upon to take up the mantle of leadership and lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Hallelujah. So what Moses could not achieve, Joshua did. But it did not happen in a vacuum. It took years of training, years of impartation, years of influence, years of he, Joshua, being developed. And that is what prepared him to be able to take up the reins of leadership and lead the people into the promised land. Hallelujah. So that is a pattern that you will see more and more of when you go through the Bible. And I want to say to you that, as I said, Joshua was about 40 years old. So for those of you who think that because I said youth mentorship, it means that mentorship is just for youth, 15 to 25 or whatever. No. You can be old, but still be mentored. Once you submit yourself to it. Because sometimes in life, we start off with certain things at quite an advanced age. And whatever it is you're doing, you will be at an advantage if you have somebody to guide you and to direct you. Which means that you need a mentor. So even if you are starting off late, you can have somebody to influence you and to guide you and show you that this is the way to go, this is not the way to go. So the first biblical truth that I've shared with you, ladies and gentlemen, is that mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. Amen. Another example that I can give you is the relationship that existed between Eli and Samuel. Samuel was a little boy when he was sent to stay with Eli in the temple. And for many years, we don't know exactly how many years it was, because Eli died along the line, but for all the time that Samuel was there, from when he was a little child till he grew and took over and became the prophet of the nation, Eli, for as long as he lived, mentored him or fathered him. So you recall how when Samuel went to sleep one day and then he heard a voice calling his name, he assumed that it was Eli and ran to him and said, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go and sleep. He went to lie down again and then he heard another voice and he ran to Eli and said, surely you called me. And round about this time, Eli, who was experienced and who knew a lot about spiritual things and spiritual encounters, suspected that God was speaking to the boy, or God was trying to get the little boy's attention. So then he guided him and told him that go lie down, and when you hear that voice again, say, Master speak, thy servant heareth or listeneth. And that's what he did, and that is what began that relationship, that special relationship that the prophet Samuel had with God. But it took an experienced priest to guide him and direct him that God is trying to get your attention. Hallelujah. Another example I can give you is the relationship that existed between Jesus and his disciples. It was a mentorship kind of relationship. He mentored them. So understand, my dear friends, that mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. Biblical truth number two. Biblical truth number two. God did not create us to grow alone. Amen. God did not create us to grow alone or to function alone. He designed us to grow through godly relationships and mentorship. He designed us to grow through godly relationships and mentorship. God did not create us to grow alone. He designed us to grow through godly relationships and mentorship. That is the second biblical truth I want to share with you about mentorship and the advantage it poses. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? He uses a blanket. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. So here, the Bible is revealing to us the power of two. The power of two. And it's explaining to us that if you are alone, things may not work a certain way for you. There is a saying, it is believed to be an African proverb, but nobody really knows who the originator of it is. But it's a saying that if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Or go with others. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with others, or go together, or go with another. And that is really what this scripture is trying to bring out, that two are better than one and they have a greater reward for their labor. And if you have somebody with you and somebody is trying to attack you, it is possible, unless the person knows kung fu, you know, or one of these Asian martial skills. Look, a lot of the films we watch, it's not real. Where one person has killed so many people. It's just a film. Do you see? So don't take it too seriously, okay? Yeah. You watch it and you see Bruce Lee is fighting with, you know, hey, but actually in the Bible, we have stories like that. You know, because some of David's mighty men, you know, they could fight, kill 100 Philistines. You know, Samson did a lot of things. So those things, and you need a special unction upon you to be able to do. But in normal life, it doesn't happen like that. Normal life, it doesn't work out like that at all. Now, in normal life, if you meet somebody who wants to beat you and you are alone, he may beat you. But if you have somebody with you, there's a possibility that the two of you can overpower him. Is that not so? So that is what we call the power of two. And mentorship, you know, one of the things it teaches us is that you are trying to achieve something, but you are not going alone, or you are not doing it alone. You need to have somebody with you. Somebody who is more experienced, somebody who is more knowledgeable, somebody who can show you the ropes. You need somebody like that with you. And if you have somebody like that, you will go very far. Remember what I said to you earlier, that wherever you want to get to, somebody has been there before. So if you are going somewhere and you have somebody with you who knows the way and who knows the place, you are likely to get there, you know, and get there very, very fast also. Praise the name of Jesus. So understand that God did not create us to grow alone. He designed us to grow through godly relationships and mentorship. Biblical truth number three. We're still talking about the mentorship advantage. All right? Biblical truths in connection with the mentorship advantage. Biblical truth number three. Every generation has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill his purposes, God's purposes. Every generation has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill his purposes. Did you get that? Every generation has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill his purposes. Psalms 145 verse 4 from the New Living Translation. Psalms 145 verse number 4. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. That means let each generation impart something to the next generation. So let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. You have to impart them. You have to prepare them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 2. You have heard me. This is Paul writing to Timothy. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That is generational transfer, if you like. So Paul writes to Timothy and explains to him that I have taught you certain things. I have guided you concerning certain things. I have imparted a lot of things to you. Now, I am Paul. I have imparted something to you, but I do not want it to end with you. I need you also to transmit and to transfer what I have imparted to you to others. So it's a transgenerational thing. And every generation, as I said, has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill his purposes. Always understand that. So if you take a father and a mother, you know, a home, a family, there are things that the parents are supposed to impart unto their children. They are supposed to impart wisdom, impart knowledge, impart virtues to the children. And they also, when they grow and develop and they start their own families, they also are supposed to pass on something. That is how God has designed it. And that is what the concept of mentorship is about. It's about passing on things from one generation to another. You know, Key Soap, produced by Lever Brothers, they have a statement associated with it. The tradition goes on. And they explain that from Tete, Key Soap has been there. And that tradition of washing with Key Soap has been passed on from generation to generation. Hallelujah. So God has designed mentorship as a tool through which things are passed on, good things, good qualities, abilities, virtues, character, wisdom, knowledge are passed on from one generation to another generation so that he, God's purposes, can be fulfilled. And what I'm saying is not just limited to church and ministry. Even in the secular field, if you have a business, all right? So Ernest, you run an air conditioning company. Is that not so? You do car air conditioning, you do home air conditioning, and what have you. You must understand that God is expecting you. It's an expectation God has of you that the skills that you have developed, the abilities that you have in working on air conditioning units, you pass on to another generation. Do you have apprentices? Do you have people working for you? Exactly. So your role where they are concerned is a role of mentorship. But you see, what I'm teaching you is to help you take that responsibility seriously. Because sometimes we do things and do not understand the essence of what we are doing. Every apprentice that you have with you, you have a God-given responsibility to make sure that what you have learned, the skills you have, the abilities you have a responsibility to pass them on to those apprentices. Then they too, when they develop and become masters, they also will take on apprentices. And they are supposed to pass on what you taught them, what they received from you. They are supposed to pass them on to the next set of people. And that is a cycle that must continue from generation to generation. Is that easy to understand? So it becomes a problem when it is time for you to exit, but there is nobody to pass anything on to. You haven't prepared anybody. There's nobody to take up what you have. And one of the sad things that you see is where people have struggled to set up a business. But then when they die, the business collapses. It's a tragedy, because that's not how it's supposed to be. And you may even see it with churches. There are many churches that started, but when the founders passed or died, there was nobody to take over and run the church. Or he did not really mentor somebody in an intentional way to take over. So they die, and then sometimes there's a lot of confusion. I'm sure you heard on the news what happened with a certain religious body. The founder died, and then now the children are fighting. Shooting and things have even come in. Somebody was wounded, had to be in the hospital for some time. You see? So these are some of the challenges you come up with when mentorship is not taken up seriously and things are not clearly defined. Hallelujah. I do not have any intention that this church if God is gracious to us and it exists for many, many years, and I believe it will, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not. And at my exit, because sometimes it may also happen that I may get to a certain age, I cannot do the things that I'm doing. There should be a system in place, a system set in place through the process of mentorship, where you have somebody or a team of people to take over and run with it. And this is something that I'm thinking about now, and I've already set it in place. So I know that today, if I'm not here, the church will continue. If I travel, I'm sure you've heard that I've traveled a few times. When I traveled, did the church collapse? No, it didn't collapse. The church ran on. And I can go for some time. So if I decide that I'm going on mission somewhere, okay, and I'm going to start another church, another branch somewhere, and I'm gone, must the church collapse? No. Will the church collapse? No. It will run on because there's a system in place to make sure that things continue running. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So every generation, as I'm explaining, has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill God's purposes. And I'm stressing again to you that don't just limit this to church and ministry issues. Even in secular things, family life, what have you, that is the sort of mind you should have. God has given you something. God has given you a skill. God has given you an ability. It mustn't die with you. It must be transmitted. It must be transferred. It must be passed on so that after you, there are others who are taking it up and running with it. And I need you to begin to think consciously of these things. Hallelujah. Biblical principle number 4. Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Jesus came to earth with a mission. He had a mandate. He had an assignment. And to be able to carry out that assignment, he knew that he himself was going to be here for only 33 years. And what he was going to start, there was a need to have people who will run with it when he was no longer around. So what did he do? He intentionally invested in some 12 guys who became known as the disciples of Jesus to prepare them to take over from him when he finally exited. So look at Mark chapter 3, the gospel according to Saint Mark chapter 3. Verse 13 to 15, New King James Version. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. The Bible says, and he, this is Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. He appointed them, 12 of them, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. What was Jesus doing here? He was mentoring them. He intentionally chose them. And to be able to mentor them, they had to be with him. And he taught them things. He developed them. He sent them to do things. He trained them. He imparted their lives. He guided them. And it was an intentional thing. So you can see that Jesus himself mentored them Look at John chapter 17, verse 6 to 8. John 17, verse 6 to 8. It says, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. And of course, Jesus was referring to his disciples. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. Look at the next thing he says. For I have passed on to them. That's the essence of mentorship. You are passing on things. You are transferring things. So what you gave me, I have passed on to them. The message you gave me, they accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Hallelujah. So through the power of mentorship, Jesus intentionally guided his disciples into following him, learning from him, doing what he had taught them, and finally teach others to do the same. That was the mentorship pattern or plan. So first of all, he called them. So he approached them and said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Said that to Andrew, said that to Peter, said that to James and John, follow me. And I believe that it was exactly the same thing he said to the rest of the 12. So he called them to follow him. And then when they started following him, he taught them a lot of things, and they learned from him. And they did not just learn from him, he also guided them to do what he had taught them. That is why at a point he sent them out to the villages and the cities around him to go and preach and go and heal the sick and cast out demons. So what he taught them, he guided them to do those things. And then finally, when it was time for him to exit, he told them to teach others what he had taught them, so that the work will continue and the mission will be carried out. So with this, we can see, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Is somebody understanding all these things? Number five, and we probably end with that. Mentorship helps us to see what we could not otherwise see. That's one of the biblical truths about mentorship. Mentorship helps us see what we could not otherwise see. Mentorship helps us see what we could not otherwise see. Amen. Let's look at this interesting scripture in Exodus chapter 18, reading from verse 13 to verse 24. New Living Translation, Exodus chapter 18. And let's start off from verse 13. To give you a little background to what happened here, Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, had come to visit him. He hadn't seen his daughter for a long while, so he came to visit Moses. So the Bible says, so when he came, the Bible says, the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. So just picture this. Every morning, he would draw a stool or a chair in front of his tent and sit down. And then the people would come and form one logo line. This person is quarreling with this person. You stole my cow. You stole corn from my field. You insulted me. You did this. So they will line up, and then he'll call them one after the other. He finishes, then he'll shout, next! Then the next set of people, they'll shout again, next! So from morning till evening, this was the ministry that he was involved in. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? And Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions. This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. You are going to wear yourself out and the people too. That means you kill yourself and kill the people in addition. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice. And may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,100, 50, and 10. So make them leaders, some leaders of thousands, some leaders of 100, some leaders of 50, some leaders of 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. What was Moses' response? Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Amen. So what do we have here? We have a case of a more experienced person, a more knowledgeable person. Because Jethro was a Midianite priest, and he had a certain experience. So when he saw what was going on, he decided to guide Moses and show him what he had to do. If you like, he mentored him and showed him what he had to do. And what he showed Moses was to help him so that he does not kill himself before his time. So he explained to him that this thing where you sit in front of your tent from morning till evening and everybody lines up before, it's a very wearisome thing. And you can't sustain it. So this is what you must do. He said, I will advise you and talk to God about it. And if God confirms my advice to you, appoint leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens. And give them a responsibility to solve the little issues. It's not every problem that they should bring to you. The major issues can come to you. And he explained to him that if you do this, life will be easier for you. And life will be easier for the people also. Hallelujah. Now, you see, this is what you must understand. Moses, he couldn't see that there was anything wrong with what he was doing. He couldn't see it. So he stuck with it for some time. It was only when Jethro appeared and spoke to him, that is when it occurred to him that this thing that I've been trying to do all this while is not helpful. So through Jethro's input, Moses now saw that there was a better way to do what he was doing. And he could now see what otherwise he could not see. Amen. And that's what you have to understand. That sometimes as you go through life, there are things that you can't see. You may have very good motives, but you may still be wrong about a lot of things. And it takes somebody else who can see further, who can see far, to be able to point out certain things to you and guide you and direct you. And that's what mentorship is about. Hallelujah. I'm sure you've heard this statement before, that the one who is digging the ditch does not know that it is crooked unless the person who is watching him dig tells him that, what you are digging is crooked. Sometimes you are digging, you think you are going straight. Initially, for the first few things, you are going straight. Before you realize, the ditch that was supposed to go here, it has gone here. And you will continue going here until somebody draws your attention and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm digging a ditch, la." He said, "You are digging a ditch to here." He says, and then you lift up your head and say, "Oh, where am I? It's not here I wanted to go to. It is here that I wanted to get to." But sometimes you, the one who is doing the thing, you don't realize that I'm off. I am totally off. And that is why mentors are important. Because they help you to see what otherwise you could not see. And like I said to you, there are people who are more experienced. They are more knowledgeable. So sometimes it may be your father. It may be your mother. It may be your teacher. It may be a relative. It may be your boss. It may be your pastor. It may be your departmental leader. It may be an elderly person in the community who will call you and point out to you that the way you talk is not good. The way you dress is not good. The way you reacted to this thing is not good. That's what a mentor does for you. And that is why mentorship is very, very important. Because it helps you to see what otherwise you could not see. And sometimes you may have... You see, the thing about us is that sometimes you don't realize that there's even something wrong with you. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes you don't even know what is in your heart. And you need somebody who has a good intention for you to point out certain things to you and let you see that, no, you think that this is the right thing to do, but it is not. So mentorship is important because it helps you to see what otherwise you could not see. And all through Jesus' time with the disciples, he kept pointing out things to them. Remember when they were quarreling about who was going to be the greatest and everything? They didn't realize that there was anything wrong with that. As they were struggling and fighting and arguing and quarreling about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. But he had to point out to them that what you are doing is very bad. So that is one of the things that mentorship does. It's one of the biblical truths of mentorship, that through mentorship, you can see what otherwise you could not see. We're going to continue next week, but I trust that you've been blessed by what I've shared with you today on biblical truths concerning mentorship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what we've received. Thank you for what we've learned. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.